Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Booyaka! It is time for another episode of Fat to Fit or Else. I'm doing both my podcasts tonight. I forgot which one I was doing. This is the one where I get to be angry, nasty, old, fat, irritable stretch. So that would be Fat to Fit or Else. By the way, I'm fatter than hell. We're coming up on 4 weeks now of the fire, and I literally have been eating like hell, been eating bad food at my parents, been eating snacks, been eating awful. Been eating my stress and anger and anxiety and everything else, and I am fat as F. I've got to get into shape. But we do have a lot to talk about today on the podcast, some very important stuff. If you are a fire victim, if you know, I don't know anyone that doesn't know a fire victim at this point. They are every effing where. Let's just dive into that. If you followed me on Instagram, you have seen my rants. I have been ranting and raving all along here. And I literally, today is the first day I had a weird, like, experience. I was there at the house with my son. And remember, my son's now 32. My son is an old-ass man himself. And he was eight years old or so when we moved into the house. Yeah, 8 or 9 when we moved into the house. Maybe younger, because he was there when we moved in there. He was there, and we weren't even married when we first moved into that house. And then we got married, and then we had my daughter. So my son was there before all of that, being that he's 10 years older than my daughter is. And it was weird for him as well. I mean, it's the closest he has to a childhood home. His mom bounced around from house to house and moved around a lot. So he never really had a stable home life with her. And then I've lived in that house pretty much his whole life. He remembers me having an apartment, a couple different apartments before I got married, after I got divorced. But that's about it with him. And then being here in this house at my parents' house where I'm recording the show now, where I am currently living, because I'm a loser, living in my parents' basement, rocking out, doing my podcast from my parents' house. We got back to the house. That was the big, big news this week. I did an epic rant on Monday, like, F it, I'm going postal, they're letting me in, or I'm going to go just nuts. And I think it was me and 1,000 other people that had the same sentiment. And they finally lifted all restrictions on the Palisades on Monday at noon. And I recorded that crap, no joke, like Monday. I usually record on my way to work in the morning or when I'm sitting outside in the parking lot at work getting ready to go. And they lifted the restrictions and I was able to get in there. I took the day off on, I guess it was Tuesday. Yeah. And then I took the day off of work, got a rental truck, said, I'm getting this done. Got my son, actually ended up taking the day off of work, yet having to go to work because my boss is fun like that. So I went to work for like 2 hours. Then I left work, got my rental car, picked up my safety gear, and then picked up my son and then drove to the house. We got the pass. way better experience. Like, can't say enough. Shout out to LAPD. It was finally an organized situation. They were communicating. They were walking the lines. They were talking to cars. It was perfect. It still took over an hour, but that same line would have taken 10 hours the weeks before. So that was cool. Got our pass. The pass is good for a week, so I don't have to go through that again if I go back this weekend. And my son and I went and dug, and the only thing that punched me in the gut and made me like choke up was there was nothing left, and I kind of half-heartedly thought that coming in. There was nothing I could get to, but there in my front yard where my first German Shepherd Bobo that we got, if you guys remember, if you were pod peeps and you're going all the way back to Jamie and Danny days, that's how long ago that was. I had Bobo. He was a German Shepherd, and a guy called the show, and he was a dog trainer, and he said he would train my dog, and we brought Bobo to him, and he made Bobo from this moron, hyperactive brat dog into the most amazing, obedient, just badass German Shepherd ever. And we had Bobo all the way up till my daughter was a little kid when Bobo died, but Bobo was 10 because we had Bobo way before my daughter was born. So, and we got him, and he was another one. We rescued Bobo as a puppy, and then he lived to be 10. So my daughter was about eight or nine when Bobo died. And then after that, it was Sarge. And then Sarge lived all the way up to my daughter being 21 years old. So pretty crazy. But anyway, Bobo was, we had him cremated and buried him in the front yard. And there is it's not a headstone, but we put it right on top of where his grave was. And it's like a heart, just a thing you go by, and it just looks like a big heart. And it's on a stick, like a metal spike that goes in the ground. And I couldn't pull, I grabbed it because I didn't want to lose it. But I knew the second I pulled that up, I would never again know where Bobo's buried. I'll never find that spot again. You know, because they're going to dig it up with a bulldozer. So he's going to be gone. He's not going to be there anymore. And I just like, that choked me up. It was just knowing I didn't want to, let go of Bobo. Sarge, by the way, survived the fire. The only deceased pet that survived the fire. Fat Pug was in the house. And for whatever reason, we get to my in-law's house right after the evacuation. And my daughter goes, I grab Sarge. But my daughter, you know, I mean, that's her main dog. We got Sarge when she was, like I said, I think she was 8 when we got Sarge. And he just died, so that was a traumatic experience. We've had a bad year, man. It has been a bad year here for the family. But we'll pull through. We'll be all right. So I had no emotional anything. But I've had the anger is getting boiling. Like, here's what is bad and what I know is going to happen. And I know me. Someone's going to pay. Someone who has no idea the brewed up anger in the big angry fat man. And someone's going to get smacked up, most likely some idiot that does something really stupid. But the crap I found out yesterday, on the way to work this morning, I literally, my head exploded. And I was like, F this, I'm doing a video. I did a video while I was driving. No. Speaking of bad dogs, Ice is here trying to climb into my lap. Go away, Ice. Go lay down. Go to bed right now. Go to bed. Oh, God, I got to drink my drink. Hold on. Go to bed right now. Go to bed. I don't want you. And so, Ice, go to bed. I just took him to the dog park, let him run around like a crazy dog, and now he is like being needy attention boy. All right, he's finally turning around and going to bed. We're in a very small bedroom with a lot of crap in it, and there's not a lot of places to work, and the bed's in here, and the desk is in here, and I'm trying to work. So, all right, where was I? Oh, I'm the anger, and that is, go to bed. You cannot get on my bed. Go to your bed. God, this dog is annoying. Go to bed. Go to bed. And here's where we go. I find out yesterday, and you've seen it on the news, if you watch any of the press conferences about the fire victims and whatnot, that the Army Corps of Engineers is going to would clean up for free. All you had to do was sign a form. You can't be there. And I told you guys I was kind of annoyed about it because I would like to be there to like try to see if there's anything underneath the rubble that I can't get to without a bulldozer. But I understood, and it was like, all right, cool. Well, we find out in the small print from one of the neighbors, they're like, yeah, read the small print. You don't want to sign that thing and have them remove it. It's not free. We're like, what do you mean? So much like FEMA, who don't want to pay you if you have insurance, the Army Corps of Engineers will remove the rubble from your home for free. And then they make you fill out all this paperwork. And if you have insurance, they will bill you back every single penny to try to get your insurance to pay for it. And it's like $110,000 to clean it up because it's a hazmat cleanup. By the way, if they take we don't have enough just with the way it looks right now with just insurance. We could never rebuild our house without completely, it'd be like buying another new home. We'd have to take the insurance money and then finance the value of the house on top of that to rebuild. That's where we are. That's why you need FEMA money. That's why donations, all that stuff actually really, everything matters. That's why everything's just being piled away because we know there's a chance of getting effed here. And then I've heard from now people who lost their homes in the Paradise Fire, if you remember those fires, and they said they signed up for the free removal of the Army Corps of Engineers, the debris removal, and then they received these bills later for like $110,000, and then they will put a lien on your property if you don't pay that, and then they would settle on whatever your insurance paid, and they were just trying to milk the insurance, which means the government is just trying to, they're going to lose a ton of money on this, but they're trying to recoup every penny they can. And if you did the right thing, and I'm finding out more and more, if you have insurance, you're effed. It's much like health insurance. If you have a good job and you pay a ton of money for health insurance, like I do, I pay a lot for health insurance. You have health insurance and they will abuse your health insurance. And you look at the fines, like not the fines, the fees from the hospitals, like they milk it to death on your insurance. And they do that because the people that are underinsured, now anyone can have free health insurance, which we all pay for, but they finance that through the really gouging the good insurance. And that's what they're trying to do in this situation. They're trying to do the same thing what they do with health insurance, with fire insurance and homeowners insurance. And they are not there to help you. They are there to recoup money because they're going to lose a ton of money. And that's why I am taking great joy in when we file the lawsuit or join one of the lawsuits that's already filed. We haven't done it yet. We're just kind of sitting back seeing where the chips fall. But we are going to definitely sue the F out of the city and state and everyone else. But to watch Gavin Newsom and to watch Mayor frickin' retard sit there with her dopey, smiley, giggly face and say, oh, no, he's free, and we're going to have to clean up, and you can sign up, and they'll come, and they'll take the debris away, and then you can start your rebuild. So they lied about that, because that's not true if you have insurance. And I'm sure they're lying about everything. They're lying, because they're professional liars. These politicians lie, 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 lie. Why did it take 3 weeks to get us back to our houses? No answer on that. Why? You know, there's so many questions, but that just boiled me over because I had everything they said I believed, like, oh, cool, they're going to help. They're actually going to help, and they're not here to help. There's a great speech. You can look it up online, and Ronald Reagan gave it, and you can even just look up this quote, I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help, and it was Ronald Reagan saying the scariest words ever uttered are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help, and it's so effing true. And he would talk about how big government screws everything up. And not even big government, just government in general. It sucks. The government sucks. They screw up everything. And I don't care what party you're in. That's all parties. They suck. The government blows big, fat donkey balls. So, Ice, go lay down. You needy little bastard. Go lay down. My God. He has been on me since I came home from work, laying on me. He was so excited when I got home from work, he laid on my feet while I ate dinner, which is a sign of they don't want you to go anywhere. So I immediately played with him and then took him out, took him to the park, ran him in the dog park, and then we just got home, and now he is trying to climb in my lap as I record a podcast. But that is the anger. That's where the anger's just boiling. And I am getting more and more pissed off and watching these people lie and then watching Gavin Newsom interviews where he's like, yeah, we're going to have a big 15-minute city. We're going to revitalize, rebuild a new L.A. Yeah. Go F yourselves. And there's also a lot of stories how they're demanding low-cost housing in all of these places. And they're like, where are you going to put it? That was the problem. Like on the west side, not only is property really, really, really expensive, but there's just nowhere for property. Like you would have to have $1 billion to buy anything at all. I just had to push my dog away. Now he yelped. Go to bed. Go over there and lay down. Oh my God, he's annoying. And when he climbs up here, he knocks my computer off and ends the podcast. So go to bed. Go over there and lay down. Now, stop it. Big baby. He was doing something bad yesterday, and I started walking towards him. When I started walking towards him, he yelped like that. And I was like, dude, I didn't even touch you, you big drama baby. Oh, God. So I'm just watching these people lie and watching these people suck. And it's crazy how demonized the insurance companies are. And if you think about it, we got State Farm. They're being amazing right now. They're over the top. They've done nothing even shady at all. In fact, they're meeting with my wife tomorrow at the house. The adjuster, they're looking at stuff. They need to check the foundation to see if they could possibly rebuild with the same one. Whatever. They're active and they're helping and they're being really good. And we've asked them what to do now about debris removal, and they were telling us what to do because they know the government's going to try to stick it to them. And I have a feeling these insurance companies are all going to sue the city or the state, because in the end, it's the negligence of the city and the state for not doing what they were supposed to do, i.e. brush cleanup, i.e. have water in the effing hydrants, you know, that kind of important stuff that they didn't do, that they failed to do, or why these insurance companies are going to be hit with billions of dollars in losses. So that's crazy, but the people have been good. You guys have been good. Everyone has been amazing, except for elected officials and the government. The government has been horrible across the board, federally with FEMA, disaster, nightmare, fuckwads, don't want to pay, try to screw you out of every dollar. If they found out you raised a penny, they cut your funding, they cut the funding, they'll pay you. They're trying to not pay us anything, and we haven't raised any money at all. And so it's weird. Then you've got the lying governor. You've got the bullshit lying mayor. The Army Corps of Engineers is bullshit. That's not free. They're trying to stick it back to you. And there's just all these big chances. If you do anything involving the government, they later bill you back. Now you've already built your house, so now they put a lien on your house or whatever. And it's like a big land grab is kind of what it looks like. Like you heard that in Hawaii when the Maui burned up, and now you're hearing that here. So what an absolute shit show that this has been, and that's where we are. You know, it's one thing I forgot to talk about in the last podcast that was very exciting. Last Friday, when I was at Walmart, my new favorite store in Downey, I saw Jaime from the old podcast days, old Pod Mafia member. He was like rolled up behind me at the cash register, and I'm like, holy crap, he's in Downey now, him and his family. And I'm like, that's awesome. So he got a house here with his wife, and that was very cool to see Jaime. So that was on last Friday. That's old school right there. If you're a Pod Mafia member, you know exactly who I'm talking about. I love you, Pod Mafia people. The Pod people, if you're just a Fat to Fit or Else listener or a Stretch listener from any of the other shows or the Big 49 or any of that stuff, the podcast, which started in 2007, was initially Jamie, Jack, and Stretch, which was me and Jamie and Jack. And then Jamie left shortly after, and then Jack and I did that for 13 years, and that was started in 2007. Like, we were podcasting before Rogan was podcasting, so that the Rogan, and I remember people shit on us, people made fun of us, everybody's like, oh, podcast, and then everyone ended up getting one. And I remember Rogan being not long after us starting up, and then he stuck through his. Now he's like an effing gazillionaire. I'm a broke-ass loser living in my parents' basement, but we were doing it before him. But I'll give it to Rogan. We had Rogan on at serious enough times. He's a cool-ass dude. I really like that dude. And he would always, you know, he'd talk about, oh, yeah, I got my podcast, and I do this and this and this, and the podcast is growing. And he just would go on, and he enjoyed doing it, and would talk about stuff he liked, and has become probably the most influential member of the media in the United States, for sure. It's crazy. But Rogan is super cool, and I do like that podcast. I'll listen to it every now and then. I don't listen to it. I'm not like a diehard, like the old Stern heads used to listen to Stern like religiously every day and record it and crap. I'll look at the guest and whoever Rogan's guest is. If it's someone that's interesting to me, I will check it out. So that is pretty awesome, though. I do like the Rogan. But it's crazy that he was started up shortly after Jack and I started up with the Jack and Stench. Man, that is it. Then the Pod Mafia came with us when we started that, and that was awesome. And we had events, and we used to do a lot of cool stuff back in the old days. Now I'm old and lazy and broke, and I don't have time. I seriously, Monday through Friday, I get up, take a shower, go to work, come home from work, eat dinner, walk my dog, watch TV till I fall asleep, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. That's my day. And it's, and it's, what's funny is that that's really helping me get through this, because I'm just busy and I don't have time, and I'm at work, and I just power through. And I think it hasn't hit me. My wife's having meltdowns on the daily, but she's also a woman. She's having emotional meltdowns on the daily, and I get it. We lost everything. And my daughter's being pretty good, pretty good, pretty solid. She's a strong little shit. And then, and my son's fine. He lost stuff. He had a lot of his childhood stuff was still in the house, and like all the pictures and junk. I keep thinking about it. Even tonight, I do it all the time. I don't have that anymore. Oh, no, I don't have that anymore. I had that, but I don't have that anymore. So it's a pain in the ass. This weekend, I am working on Saturday, and then Sunday, I am off, so I will probably try to go to, after work, head over to my house in Palisades for a little while, because I'll be on that side of town when I get done working, and then I'd come home, and probably what I'm going to do. Oh, man, it is tough, and it's funny how the nosy neighbors that come over, Duke and I were going through the house. And I didn't tell you guys here, but I did this on Instagram. I forget what I do. On Instagram, Duke and I were in the back of the house, and we were cleaning, and Duke goes, "Dad, Buddha's over here, and he's fine." The house fell. The entire back of the house. The back of the house was over two stories high because we were on a hill. So you come in the house, it's level out, but when you get to the back, it's two stories high, even though it's a one-story house. And the entire two-story wall fell onto the garden where the fountain and Buddha was, crushed the fountain and all that crap, just smashed it to smithereens. But Buddha was fine. And that happened to be right the day before Lunar New Year, which is a Buddha day, a very big Buddha day. So that was cool. It was very cool to find that. We also found a fountain in the back on the other side that had St. Francis statue next to it, and both of them were fine, but that wall didn't fall. Or they would have both been smashed to smithereens, I have a feeling, but they weren't. And the saddest thing, and this put my wife over the edge. I'm not kidding. She hasn't come back from this yet. When we got back to the house that week after, when I threw the hissy fit and we got past the line and they let us come to the house for like 5 minutes just to look at it, my wife looked in the back, and we have a full-size human lady statue with her arm up. And she was completely standing and fine. Everything was burnt around her to a crisp, and there was like this circle around her. There was even a couple plants right next to her that were okay. In fact, they're now here at my house in my front yard. And my wife's like, "Oh my God, she made it." She's like the symbol of everything, that she made it. Like, she goes, "I can't believe she made it." And it's not a cement statue. It was a resin statue, about 5.5 feet tall. And So we were putting stuff in storage. My son and I, we grabbed most of my weights and everything we could, and a lot of, you know, planter stuff and Buddha and little things we found. And we threw them into the U-Haul truck and we brought them to a public storage. And that was a whole effing ordeal. And how expensive is that shit now? I haven't done a public storage in years. Those things are brutally expensive now. So we loaded that up. And when we put her in, we picked her up and it took two of us to pick her up. She's big. And she was creaking like, and I'm like, that's weird. And then while we were driving, we put her in, stood her up, put, she had cracks in her, but she'd had some cracks in her before. Like things been in my house for probably 20 years. And we were driving, just driving, not turning, not braking, not accelerating. And we heard what sounded like a bomb went off in the back and literally she exploded. The vibration of the road, she exploded. Like the Twin Towers, like somewhere there was a break and then she just broke into a billion pieces in the back. And my wife was so excited and we sent her pictures, here she is, and look, she's great. And then we loaded her in the truck and she did not make it to the storage. So that was just like another kick in the nuts. Yeah, that little hope thing. So now the shining ray of, hey, this is awesome, is Buddha. And we had another weird, and we're obviously not Buddhist, we're Catholics. My wife had got the Buddha it was like a raffle at my daughter's school for a garden. It was like a big garden statue of Buddha, and the house fell on him and he survived. So there's a few other little statues. There was a bunny next to Buddha too, and that survived. But Buddha, I think, was holding up the wall with his big Buddha head, and the rabbit was next to Buddha and was fine. And the fountain and all that stuff around him was crushed to smithereens, but that was cool. And then the little one was down at the back of the yard, not too into anything, and it was full cement, so it would just get charred on the outside and was fine. But that's what we got. And then while we're there, people kept pulling up, is this your house? And by the way, there were police everywhere. Every 5 minutes, a cop would drive down our street, and people would see a U-Haul and think like we're looters. But yeah, looters aren't getting in here in the middle of the day with 900 cops and everybody has a pass on their dashboard. And the cops would just drive up, look at the pass on the dash, and realize we were residents. But idiots would pull up who I've never seen before. Like, I knew all of my immediate neighbors and a couple down the street. But everyone that lived next door to me, straight across from me, even catty corner to me, I knew them. I knew their names. I've known them for years and years. And I know them. People that were walking to me like, is this your house? I've never seen before in my life. And I'm like, yeah. And then charity people were coming down the street going, hey, we could provide you with this and this and this. And I'd be like, hey, no offense. Like, I had to take the day off of work and I got no time to go through this. I don't have time to talk to you. Beat it. Like, sorry. Like, go. And I just didn't have the time. And I'm not friendly to begin with, if you guys haven't noticed. I'm not the nicest guy. Even though I am blown away at how that there are way more good people in this world than bad, I have found out since this tragedy. None of them hold an elected office, none of the good people, but they're out there, and I appreciate them and appreciate the love and support. So that is all I got for my latest version of After the Fire, Fuck Gavin Newsom, and I'm going to double down on Fuck Gavin Newsom, and I'm going to double down on Fuck Karen Bass, and I'm going to double down on Fuck FEMA. And everyone else so far that's been involved in this, it's been an F show from anyone who is supposed to be there to help outside of charities. Like the Red Cross was awesome. Shout out to them. Highly recommend hitting them up if you are a victim of this. Time to go. I will talk to you guys again on Monday with another episode of Fat to Fit or Else After the Fire. Fuck Gavin Newsom. That's a mouthful.